Mark 4, verse number 19. Now, this is in the Amplified. For time's sake, I'll just read the Amplified. Then the cares. This is the parable of the sower. You remember? The sower sows the word. And he talks about the word bringing forth in different kinds of ground to different degrees based on... Based on the different conditions of ground and the circumstances. And this one's the thorny ground. Remember, and the seed grew up, and it had thorns competing with it. And he called the thorns in the Amplified the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. Yeah. The cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. There's never been a verse that verse is more applicable than right now. We got the most distracted generation that ever has been. Somebody was telling me in the background, in the back room, Carlos, I believe it was, said Randy Greer put out a newsletter on this recently, and I didn't get it for some reason. But anyway, he said the average attention span right now is 8-point-something seconds. Social media has reduced people's attention span down to 8-something seconds. Well, how many of you know that's not going to work when it comes to being a doer of the word? Because this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein. God's plan for our minds is that we be able to meditate in the word of God. And you can't meditate more than you can't just meditate 8-some seconds and get the nourishment out of it. Amen. So we've got to learn to master this. We've been using also Galatians 4, verses 6 and 7, where this is the Amplified Classic also. God said to Cain, he noticed that Cain's offering hadn't been accepted. And God said, why are you sad? Why are you dejected? You get a hold of yourself. Well, I'm paraphrasing here. Get a hold of yourself because sin lies at your door, but you've got to master it.
Right.
You've got to master it. So there's things that that word master it, those two words, master, they just jump out at me.
Yeah.
Over the last number of months, you got to master some things.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes we want God to take some things away, and He's saying, master it.
Master it.
Master it.
Yes.
In other words, go ahead and live victorious in the presence of that thing, but not letting it dominate you. Amen. You can't, take, for example, the flesh, the appetites of the flesh. That you can't say, oh, God, take this appetite away from me. He's not going to be able to take that appetite away from you. That's going to be in your flesh. You just have to master it. So there's things that that we need to master, and one thing we need to master is our attention.
Yes, amen.
We understand children, for example, like back here, Children's Church. The children, we don't have hour-long Bible studies. Their attention span isn't that great. We just do short things because.
Yes.
But how many of you know, as people grow to adults, their attention span grows,
yes, sir.
And they should be able to concentrate on something longer than just a few minutes.
Yes.
Amen. So we need to grow in this, grow in our holding our attention on the right things and not being distracted. Now, Satan's a master of distractions. He actually has honed the skill over generations. And he knows, I don't know if you've noticed, he knows how to work on you. I know he knows how to work on me. And he'll oppose the word by trying to get me distracted from it. Sometimes people will say, take this verse or take these truths or read this book or something. Well, I just can't, I don't like to read or I don't like to read verses or so forth and so on. And we say, well, because they'll say, well, I have ADD or different diagnosis. See, the doctors will give them different diagnoses.
Yeah.
Listen, that doesn't mean that you can't overcome that.
That's right.
Either is God being unfair when he says to meditate therein day and night? Is there exceptions for any of us? Well, I can't because I have attention issues. No, you can reprogram yourself and you can learn to hold your attention on the right things. Amen. So don't accept those kinds of things. Just take the word of God and practice it. Amen. The devil will keep you, he'll keep you running, like I said on Wednesday night, well, I think it was Wednesday night, he'll keep you running on a hamster wheel, going nowhere. There's a lot of activity, a lot of motion, but not going anywhere spiritually. The Bible says, run with patience the race that's set before you. In other words, the race God set before us is a race that has progression to it. We're not supposed to be just going through motions, going nowhere. We're to be progressing on the race God has for us.
Amen.
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 So this is something we need to learn to do. Just because the devil's making a lot of noise or circumstances are pressuring you for your attention doesn't mean just because it's pressuring you that it's the most important thing. You learn to know the difference between what's pressuring you and what's important. You understand what the difference is? Some things are demanding. Some things try to grab your attention and hold your attention on it. It could be, circumstances, something screaming at you, telling you you're going to fail in this area. The doctor's reports, the checkbook balance, something screaming at you. Or the lust of the flesh or something, Or just the 24-hour news cycle. You ever notice they like to jump from crises to crises because that's called for them ratings. They can keep people, viewership. They can keep people all tuned in. Right. Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. How many of you know you got to wean yourself off of that? That's just something that the enemy uses. There's a lot of things he uses. He uses people. Tries to stir up people to try to make life uncomfortable, try to distract you. Amen. Stop falling for his strategies and learn to guard your attention and hold your attention on the right things. When your attention goes somewhere, you start going that direction. My wife, she's telling me when she drives with me, I have a tendency of driving like this. My eyes glance across the road while I'm looking at the cows over in the field over there. Don't tell anybody, but that's the way I drive. And if you're not careful, whichever direction you're looking, that's the direction your steering wheel goes. Amen. Same thing's true with spiritual things. Whatever direction you keep looking is the direction you start going.
That's good. Yeah.
It's the truth. So, learn, I like to say it this way, learn to dictate direction. Because the enemy is going to try to stir things up to get your attention on different things. You know what I'm talking about? But God wants you to dictate what your attention is on and dictate direction.
Yes.
There are things, one of the things I haven't read a lot of success kind of books, success kind of books,
yes.
But I've heard some people talk about some of them, and they'll say successful people don't just, you might say in layman's terms, they might say, just to use layman's terms, they don't run around putting out fires.
Right.
They don't spend all their time running around putting out fires. They give themselves to what is important.
Yes.
For the success, whether it's a business or something like that. Amen. And they hire other people to put out the fires.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But the point is, they're dictating direction by what they hold their attention on.
Yes.
If they want to expand the company and get into a new branch, maybe they're selling to the retail market, but they want to sell to the wholesale market or something, and they need to develop the company over in this direction.
Yes.
Well, then somebody's going to have to give their attention to designing that, setting that up, and
yes.
preparing for that, branch out into that.
Yeah.
And so they can't be busy over here just putting out fires all day. They got to give their attention to this.
Right.
So they're dictating direction
yes.
by what their attention is on.
Amen.
Does that make any sense? Yes. Do that with spirit. Do that with the Word of God.
Yes. Amen.
If you want to get into something, let's take you. So you want to get into a healthier lifestyle, physically. Well, you got to give yourself to either the Word of God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Feed yourself on the Word of God.
Yeah.
Or you might want to study some things about diet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just don't have time. Well, amen.
Yeah.
You have time laying up in the hospital.
Come on, sir.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm not trying to be mean or predict that. But how many of you know, sometimes you have to say, no, I'm giving myself to this right now. It's simple, but it's so powerful, really. So when you break free from just the distractions of life, like he said there in Mark 4:19, when you break free from that, it's as if Satan doesn't have he can't put that ring in your nose and pull you over here, pull you over there anymore. He can't do that anymore. Now you're dictating direction. Amen. Now, and rather than letting him pull your attention off over here, that's one of the biggest principles of faith you can learn. you hold your attention and your focus on what God said, and you keep moving with that while there's a yakety yak yak over here and a fear monger over here.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. Am I making any sense this morning? So the Bible defines, do you notice this word here? Cares of this life. The Amplified says back here in Mark 4:19, the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. That's that word distractions is very important. I find the Amplified Classic very accurate over and over and over again. I really like the Amplified Classic. The newer one, I get amazed sometimes how they changed it. But that's a whole nother subject. But the Amplified Classic says cares of this life, distractions of this age. That's a good definition, because the Greek definition of the word cares, it involves being separated from something through distractions. When it says there, the cares of this world, how many of you know it means to, the Greek word means to part unity with something. So, and then the English word means to divide someone's attention, to prevent concentration. That's what the English definition is. The Greek says to separate. And I think we get a lot of revelation out of the Greek word, because it's not so, the distractions, you can be distracted by things that are legitimate sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? But you and I have to make sure and put them in their right place, not come before the things that are important. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Remember, the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing.
Yes.
Find out what the principal thing is, emphasize it, and it will give you everything else.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Yep.
In other words, find out what the main thing in God is, like the wisdom of God, the leading of the Spirit, faith in this word, along certain lines that you need to grow in and have a better lifestyle in. Find out what is really important. Focus on that, and it'll fix all these things that are trying to distract you. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
So whenever you are distracted, you're separated from what will give you what you really want.
Right.
Separated. That's what the Greek word says, to be separated from whatever's, you know, the plan of God, really. So you can put these separations in different categories. The Lord's been talking to me about five different areas where distractions separate or come to separate us from the things of God. You want to go through some of those?
Yes.
So first of all, the word. You remember the cares of this life there in Mark 4:19. The context is the word. The sower sows the word. And we could preach on that for 3 months, to be honest. But, you know, there's just a lot that the enemy wants to keep you from being really, to really feeding on the word, meditating on the word, and getting that word on the inside of you. It's not the word alone that does the job. It's the word growing in your heart.
Amen.
Remember, the Bible says, so mightily grew the word and prevailed.
Yes.
It doesn't prevail just because it's the word. It prevails because it gets in your heart and grows.
Yes, amen.
Amen. But it can't get in your heart and grow without meditation, feeding on it. And you can't do that without resisting distractions. Amen. Because there's always something that comes up, you know. Always something comes up trying to get you away from that time. Well, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. Well, that's not focusing on the main thing that'll give you all the what you really need in life. So the word. Number one, the word. Now, number two, the things that Satan wants us to be distracted from is the spirit realm, which is the place of answers. The spirit realm, which is the place of answers. And let me go through these, because we're going to come back to that one. Number three, the race that we're to run. You remember the Bible talks about, you know, Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 2. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. And then he said, King James said, looking unto Jesus.
Yes.
The Amplified says, looking away from all that would distract.
Yes.
Unto Jesus. So he's talking about running this race, and he says, don't be distracted from running this race. Does that make sense? So whenever, that's one of the things he wants us distracted from. the race that God's called us to run. Isn't that right? What's God called you to run? What race has God called you to run? Whatever that is, you won't finish it because you won't finish it if you're distracted by the cares of life, just the busyness of life. You know what I'm talking about? All of the, you know, running around like a chicken with your head cut off, dealing with this, dealing with that. You have to set aside time to give yourself to this. All right, so that's a whole nother thing. We might get to that at some point. But another thing that the enemy wants to distract, the distractions come to pull us away from is prayer. Remember I said distraction means to separate. He wants to separate you from a life of prayer. And really, that's one we're going to spend some time on. We might get to that Wednesday night. We'll see how we go. But the main verse on that is 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 7. Bible talks about that there. And we'll get to that. But the last thing that the Lord's been talking to me about, this wouldn't be the last thing by all means, but that the Lord's been talking to me about concerning distractions is divine connections. He wants to distract you from your divine connection. I've seen that over and over and over again. So come tonight and hear page 2 on that one. All right. Now notice the spirit realm, the place of answers. The place of answers. He wants you to distract you. He wants to distract you from that. Now, let's talk about that a little bit. Psalm 77, verse number 13. Part of that verse. There's more to that verse than we're going to quote. But Psalm 77, 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Now, the sanctuary in the Old Testament was the presence of God. The manifest presence of God was in the sanctuary. So he's talking about spending time in the presence of God. Yes. You get the mind of God, the direction for your life, or just a decision you've got to make, or like a decision. You get that in the presence of God. It comes up out of your spirit while you're in the presence of God. In other words, what do I mean by in the presence of God? The presence of God is the Holy Ghost is everywhere all the time, but his presence is not always in manifestation. There's a place, remember Psalm chapter 91, verse number 1, he that dwells in the secret place, secret place. There's a place called the presence of God where you fellowship with him when everything else is put out. Remember Jesus talked about going into your closet and shutting your door? Right? What do you do when you go in your closet and you shut your door? Well, you're tuning other things out. And that's a place of prayer is what it really is. And that's a place that you and I need to find. All of us need to find that place. That's not a physical place. But it might include a physical place, which is secluded or something like that. But it's a place in the spirit, really. It's a place in the spirit. Where you tune everything else out and you go from here to here. Yes. Amen. But I mean your head down to your heart. Yes. And you start fellowshipping with God out of your heart. Amen. And it's called in the spirit. Yes. In the spirit. Amen. And it's the place of hearing. It's the place of answers. Yes. Can you say amen? Amen. It's the place of answers. It's the place where you hear those answers. Now, a couple of verses on this. Acts 13. We've been talking about this. Acts 13, 1 through 3. As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said. What are they doing? Ministering to the Lord. They're praising and worshiping God. They're not sitting around a board meeting table trying to calculate and figure what they're going to do and looking at the budget and looking at the expenses and nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying they're simply spending time in the presence. Where did they get the direction? Yeah. As they ministered to the Lord, fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Yeah. They got that direction in that place of prayer. In that place of, you might say, in the presence of God, fellowshipping with him through praise and worship. Right. So that verse is one we've been talking about. And another one we've been talking about, one of my favorites, 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 12. It talks about the three enemy armies that came against Israel, all mightier than them alone, but three of them combined came against Israel, or Judah actually. And the Bible says they didn't know what to do, so they sought the Lord and they prayed and they said, you said this was our land. They're coming to take us out of our land. And you said this temple, when we built this temple, that anyone who comes here and prays, that you'd give them their answer. I'm paraphrasing. And so here we are, they all gathered at the temple and they're asking direction. What do we do? We don't have any power or might against this mighty army. Neither know we what to do. He's talking about how are we going to defeat this? How are we going to stand against this army? But our eyes are on you. Hallelujah. They said our eyes are on you. They're standing there tuning everything else out. The cows at home might need fed. They were all farmers. I grew up on the farm. The cows don't get fed. They're noisy. And when they don't get milk, they get noisy. They'd probably out there. I grew up on the farm. I can whoop anybody with cow sounds. Although I did meet a guy that whooped me out in California a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, you didn't even grow up on the farm. What's wrong with that? But they set all those distractions aside. Our eyes are on you. All right, that's talking about their attention. Hallelujah. I don't have the verse in front of me, but it keeps coming to me. Psalm 62, it's around verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, down there through somewhere. It talks about my expectation is from you only. Amen. You got to get to that place to where you're expecting something from him. You're expecting an answer. You're expecting help.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're not, verse number 5. Verse 5. Psalm 62, verse 5. Praise God. My expectation. And that's what you do in this time of prayer. You get in his presence and you just set everything else out and say, my eyes are on you. I'm looking to you. And you talk to him out of your heart. Listen to what he's saying to you. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, as they did that, upon certain man named him there, there came the Holy Ghost and said, be encouraged, basically. You'll not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, see the salvation of the Lord. Go out tomorrow against them. The Lord will be with you. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
So they did, and they praised God there, and they did what he said. And the Bible said the Lord sent ambushments. That's enemy armies to fight for them.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yeah,
and they didn't need to fight in that battle.
Yeah, right.
But we get our focus on the angels and the victory that was out there. There was one out there on the battle through those angels confusing the enemy. But really, the help came back there in that time of prayer. When they got in his presence and found out what to do.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's where their help came.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Their help, you might say it this way. I like the way Pastor Nancy said it. Their help came through their hearing. The place of, there's a place in prayer where you hear. You hear your answer. Now, I don't believe in magic, but it's just the way we say it sometimes. You hear what to do in a certain situation that hasn't been working, and it's like, I don't know what to do. But you hear a divine answer from heaven and go out and do it, it'll work like magic.
Yes.
It'll work like magic.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about superstition stuff, but I'm just saying it'll just work like clockwork. Sometimes you go, woo, I've been trying to make this work forever. But you get an answer from heaven because you heard from heaven, and you go out and act on that answer, it'll work.
Amen.
You know why it'll work? A lot of times because now you heard an answer from the realm of help. You heard an answer from the spirit realm.
Amen.
Praise God. So those are some verses that we talk about. And what this is an element of your prayer life. There's more to our prayer life than just the prayer of faith. There's the prayer of supplication, waiting on God, spending time in his presence, fellowshipping with him, praying in other tongues, worship, praising and thanking him. Hallelujah. Shutting your mind down, just operating out of your heart. If I hadn't learned to do that, I don't know where I'd be today. I'd probably be squirreling in my head. I know that. Because, boy, there's been times there's a bombardment against my head. And I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
If I hadn't got an answer, I'd probably go on squirrely.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
Good word.
Probably all of us.
Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely.
Thank God for his help.
Amen.
So we're learning to do this. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In 2 Chronicles, they heard.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't always come the way it came in 2 Chronicles. There it came through a prophecy. It can come that way. I've had that happen in my prayer life. I'm praying in tongues about something, just praying up out of my spirit, drawing the answers up out of my spirit, because the Bible says when you pray in tongues, you speak mysteries.
Yeah.
Praying out the mystery. It's a mystery to me, mystery to my head. But the Holy Ghost knows exactly what to do. So I'm praying it out, and there's been times, not all the time by any means, but there's been times up out of my spirit comes an utterance in tongues, and or sometimes it's just prophecy, outright prophecy, but either an utterance in tongues, an interpretation, or prophecy, and my own answer comes out of my own mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
That can happen. That doesn't have to be that way. You can pray sometimes for a period of time and then go your way, having known you prayed something out, and as you go your way, maybe 2 days later, all of a sudden up out of your spirit, blah, 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 there comes the answer.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And you go do it.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, people want the, you know, like there in 2 Chronicles, miracles, angels, great victory. They want that, but they want to skip over the hearing.
Yes.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yep.
Doesn't work that way.
No, it does not.
Amen. Say it doesn't work that way. So don't skip over the hearing and try to get right to the power. No, you have to go through the door into that manifest power. That door is hearing what God has to say about this situation. Well, it's written in the Word, but yes, somebody said, well, just do the Word. Yeah, but it's a big book. Which part do I stand on? Amen. You can't just do this. Faith is not something mental. We just pull something out of the Bible mentally. Well, by His stripes I'm healed. Yeah, that's for sure. But maybe there's something else that God will highlight in your situation.
Yes.
And that'll be in your situation, the wisdom of God.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
It'll be the wisdom of God.
Yes,
and sometimes there'll be specifics you won't have written in the Word, but you'll get them from the Holy Ghost. And now, like I said, faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. And so faith comes by hearing, but don't just do that. Don't just think of that mentally. There's two Greek words translated word, because notice it says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's two Greek words translated word in the New Testament. One is logos and one is rhema. Logos is the written word. Rhema is the spoken word. Here it's rhema. Faith comes by hearing. Spoken.
Yeah.
Not just written.
Right.
Yeah.
Not just the ink on the page.
Uh-huh.
But something that is spoken by the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
yes, it's the written word of God, but it's inspired by the Holy Ghost.
Yep. Right.
The Holy Ghost speaks it to you.
Yes.
And it's a living thing. It stands up on the inside.
Amen.
Stands up off, we sometimes say stands up off the page.
Yeah.
Comes alive to us. Comes real to us.
Yes.
You know, whenever that comes, faith just came. Faith just came. Amen. It might have been something you've known in your mind for 25 years. But boy, the Holy Ghost breathes on it and inspires it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, woohoo, I got it. I got it.
Yeah.
Praise God. People are trying to skip over that part. And try to go right to the, well, I remember the Bible said. Well, it's good to remember what the Bible said. But fellowship is not just based on mental memory. Fellowship is based on the heart sharing of God's heart with your heart and your heart with God's heart. And talking about something. Heart to heart. Amen. So faith comes by hearing what God has to say about it. That'd be both the written word, of course, but it'd also be the spoken word.
Amen.
Amen. And so really, until you hear, you're not safe moving forward. Because if you don't hear from God and you move forward, then you're out there on your own. And whenever you're out there on your own and the enemy comes to oppose you, or yakety yak yak, with bombarding thoughts of unbelief, or fear.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't heard, you have nothing to fight with. That hearing is a weapon.
Yeah, that's good.
What you heard is like a weapon.
Yes, it is.
The sword of the Spirit. Yes. Remember, the Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, not just the dead Word, the living Word.
Yes.
What did you hear? I knew when we launched into Kansas City, starting the second church, I knew I got to get some things clear on the inside. I got to hear from, he already spoke to us about doing it, but I got to get some specifics here. I got to pray this out. And he, you know, step by step, talked to us about different things. And so now when the enemy opposes us in those areas, I go back to what I heard. That's my weapon.
Yes, amen.
God said, Mr. Devil.
Yep, that's right.
But what if you don't have a God said? I remember the Holy Ghost spoke this to me. What if you don't have that? You got nothing to fight with. And you're at a disadvantage, to be honest with you. You understand what we're talking about? So what God said to you is your answer to opposition when it comes. Oh, I'm not going to believe for opposition. Don't say anything, Pastor, about opposition. Well, you don't have to say anything about it. It'll just come. It'll just come. Amen. Hallelujah. And it won't come because you made some mistake. Sometimes it'll come because you're doing the right thing. So praise the Lord. So you've got to go on with those words in your mouth. But if you haven't heard, you don't have anything to put in your mouth. So hearing God gives you faith to do what he says, but it also gives you the faith to keep on standing when it's opposed. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If God didn't say it to you, then you don't have any faith to stand. You don't have any faith to resist the enemy with. Well, I'm a faith person. No, not in that area if you didn't hear from God. Well, so-and-so heard from God, and I'm just doing what they said. You didn't hear what they heard. You didn't hear what they heard. They might have heard God say, do this.
Yep. Yes, sir.
You know, somebody can say, well, so-and-so, God told them not to have an operation and they were healed. So I'm just not going to have an operation. Well, they heard that. Did you hear that? That won't work because faith comes by hearing.
Hearing.
Yes. Amen. Not hearing what God said to somebody else. Hearing God for yourself. Now, why do you have to hear? Because, you know, there's a verse over in Hebrews. I don't know if I've got it in front of me somewhere here. The Bible talks about in Hebrews in one place. I think it's Hebrews 8. We've got a lot of Bible scholars here. We'll find it. But it talks about God told Moses, do everything according to the pattern shown you on the mount.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yep.
Do everything according to the pattern. That's talking 8 verse 5. Do everything. Hebrews 8 5. Do everything according to the pattern shown thee on the mount. That's quoting the Old Testament where God said that to Moses. Do what I showed you on the mount. Now for him, remember he was up on the Mount Sinai and got the Ten Commandments. The glory cloud came down. God fellowshiped with him. He gave him the Ten Commandments, but he told him how to build the tabernacle and everything. And he said, do everything according to the pattern shown you on the mount. Now on the mount was just another word for in the spirit. In the spirit. Do everything like you saw in the spirit. Do everything like you heard me talking to you about in the spirit. Amen? Now, why would he have to say, now make sure and do it according to the way you saw it on the mountain? Pastor Nancy said this recently. I'll give her credit this time. Just so good, so good. She said, because Moses was about to come down to 3 million Jews with an opinion. Remember, and he's up on the mount. They're down there. The whole Israelite congregation's down there waiting for him. And he's coming down. He's going to say, this is what God said. And everybody's going to have an opinion about it. You realize that's the truth. You know, when you're in the presence of God and God speaks to you, you got to be careful who you tell. Because everybody's going to have something to say about it, including your relatives. They'll have something to say about it. Well, God told us to go to church over here. Well, I mean, Grandma's tears are on the altar down there at the old-time Methodist church. You know, you got to go to the old-time Methodist church. Everybody's got an opinion about it. But do everything according to what you heard. Not heard from somebody, heard from God. And whenever somebody else has an opinion or a suggestion and try to pull you in the mental realm, then you're going to have something to fight the good fight of faith with. And if you don't know what God heard or what you heard when God spoke to you, then you'll have nothing to fight with and they'll pull you off course. Amen. I've seen people do that. I've seen people, I'm thinking of a person, God spoke to them real clearly, don't marry that person. But the other person didn't hear that. Talked them out of it, talked them into marrying, and it was hell on earth until the divorce. Amen.
Amen.
No, do what you heard. That'll rescue somebody here this morning. Do what you heard. Amen. So you can get revelation in the presence of God and hear God speak to you in his presence and know for sure. I mean, you come out of there like, well, I know it. I know it. I heard from God. And I mean, you got the assurance. Let me tell you something about that kind of time. You ought to write that down. Yeah. Write down what you heard. And do it right away. Yep. Because when you do it right away,
yes.
I don't know how to explain this other than I've experienced it many times. It seems like when you do it under that anointing, when you first heard, it seems like that what you wrote down carries that anointing. Because you're writing it just like it came to you.
Yes.
And you go back and read it later, and it just comes right back to you, and that same unction comes back. But I said write it down because you want to hold on to it, not let it get past you. But another thing you need to realize is whenever you heard, there's all sorts of the presence of God when you heard that was strong, and the presence of God that when God spoke that, it had a lot of conviction and it had a lot of assurance and so forth and so on. But you can get away from that time of prayer and begin to think about it, and you don't still feel that presence. You know what I mean? And have all that reinforcement from the presence of God, and you're like, well, I don't know if I heard from God or not. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So you need to hold on to that.
Yes.
And you need to write it down and keep going back over it and keep reminding. Let me tell you, somebody else you need to remind is the devil. You need to remind him. God said.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's how you fight the good fight of faith. I said, that's how you fight the good fight of faith. So when you get off the mount, there's going to be other voices. Don't take your direction from the other voices,
right.
Whether it comes through people or the yakety yak yak of the devil.
Right.
This is where Christians, I'm a faith person. And they hear from God and step out in faith, and the devil goes boo, and they go, they run back to mama. Amen. Suck their thumb, get their blankie, and talk about. You know, the good old days. I'm preaching better than your amen. You got to hold fast. Amen. And not be distracted. Hallelujah. What God said is your anchor. Let it anchor you and hold you fast. Hallelujah. All right. You're about done with me because you seem like you're unhooking a little bit. God's help is in the hearing. People want to run to the power, and thank God for the power, but you get to the power through the door of hearing. Do what you heard. His help is in his thoughts, and hearing conveys his thoughts. His thoughts, remember, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. He's got higher thoughts, and when you hear his thoughts, it's going to lift you to a higher place. And those thoughts are where his help is. Don't bypass that and just try to mechanically be a mental faith person. Now, what this will do, hearing will fix things that have not been working. Amen. Amen. When somebody's going through the motions, long motions over and over again, and it's just not working. You know, because sometimes we faith people, we don't want to look at something like that.
Right.
No, we're just going to put our head down, just keep on plowing through.
Come on.
And for years, we struggle in the same area.
Yes.
In faith.
Come on.
Well, real faith works. Now, I've been there. I'm not putting anybody down. I know what that's like. And so I go back to I've learned over the years that I can tell whenever I haven't made my connection in here.
Right.
I'm just going through the motions. I might even be saying faith words to other people.
Right.
But down in here, I don't really. Yeah. I haven't really heard that. That I didn't really hear that. I just know what they, you know, they're faith people, and I know what we all say. And we all say faith things. Come on now. I've worked with the sick and healing school, Kenneth A. Ministries. I know what people do. And I identified it in them. Then I said, oh my God, I see it myself. So hearing fixes things that aren't working. Hearing fixes things that aren't working. In situations like that, go back to the presence of God and say, God, is there anything that I have that I miss that I'm not understanding?
Right.
Amen. Sometimes the reason is just that we know in our heads what the Word of God says, but we are not connecting with it in our hearts. And sometimes there's reasons we're not connecting with it in our hearts. Amen. Maybe because Miss Jennifer, she preached it to us last service. She said, I'm believing God to sell these. What were they, dolls or what were they? Bears. I'm believing God. And God's whispered to her what to do.
Yeah.
I'm believing God. She didn't pay attention to that. Yeah. We're not putting her down because we've done it 75 times. Maybe she's done it 3. I don't know. But when she got quiet, went back to that and did what she heard. Say that out loud. Did what she heard. Boom. There it started working.
Amen.
Now she's selling bears by the bushels. Amen. That's the truth about it. Glory. She's talking about her mother's inheritance. Her mother gathered up a lot of, she collected bears, I guess. Well, praise the Lord. Nobody in here has ever done anything like that. Amen. No, we have. We're just enjoying talking about her and not about us. You know, just praise the Lord. Well, some of you are done. You can't handle anymore. So let's stand to our feet. Praise God for the word. There's a place to get answers. It's the secret place of the Most High. There's a place where you can get divine wisdom for your situation. If anyone lacks wisdom, remember James 5, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Gives everyone liberally and upbraideth not. Wisdom is what he knows about your situation. It's insight from his realm. And, the context of that is in the, first couple of verses, James 1, verse 1 and 2, 3. Going through a test or trial, count it all joy. Right? And persevere in faith. But if you lack wisdom, ask. God will give you wisdom. The context is going through a test or trial. And there's times, God, what do you see about this that I don't see? It could be a relationship issue. Right? Why is this relationship struggling? Amen. Amen. It's not always just the devil. It might be you. I've been there. And it's not always them. Well, if they just wouldn't be carnal, get their mind renewed. maybe if you'd walk in love. Oh, I'm meddling now. I got to stop preaching and gone to meddling. Praise God. Melissa sent me that note, Brian. That was just hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of that this morning? It's, faith. I remember, I don't know how many years ago, the Lord said to me, mix your relationship with me in the spirit now with your life of faith. Does that make any sense? Mix your life, your relationship with me in the spirit now with your faith. In other words, you know now what the word says. In many areas of life. Now I know. I've logged it up here. I've renewed my mind. But I can't operate out of faith. I can't operate faith out of my mind. Faith is of the heart. So whatever he says to me in my fellowship, I emphasize that more than I ever have in my life. Amen. Whatever he says to me. Now, if I don't hear anything, then I just go with what the word says. We ought to do that anyway, right? But as we're doing that, don't just do it with a sort of a kind of arrogant, like I know everything I need to know kind of an attitude. Always stay open to what the Holy Ghost might say. Always stay open to what the Holy Ghost might say. And be responsive to what the Holy Ghost says. While you're using your faith in the Word, the Holy Ghost will whisper something to you. I remember a lady told a story, a minister told this story about a lady came and said, I want you to help me on something. I got a hold of the Word about all my covenant rights and so forth. One of them is divine protection and, you know, the devourer's rebuke for my sake and so forth. She would make these confessions. And she said, could you help me on, said to this minister, could you help me on something? I was downtown in my city and somebody, you know, I don't think they mugged her, but they just ran up and grabbed her purse and ran off. And she wanted this minister to explain why that happened. I made my confessions of faith even that morning. Yeah. Well, you don't know. I mean, you weren't there. You weren't living there in the house. You don't know what happened. But I mean, in her prayer time. But he asked by the, he just checked the spirit. This is the way we help people. Sometimes we don't have, most of the time, we don't have, in the other people's life, we don't have their answer. People come to us and we don't know. What's God saying to your heart? But the minister dipped down in the spirit and he sensed the Lord saying, ask her if she had any premonition not to go down, because she was down there shopping, not to go downtown shopping that day. And he asked her and she said, oh yeah, I mean, it came to me not to go, but I just rebuked that and said, Satan, I rebuke you. I'm protected, you know. Well, she overrode that. See, it's a fellowship with God. Faith is a walk. It's not something you do one day. Right? It's a daily fellowship, daily walk. What's he saying right now? What's he talking to your heart about? Now, I don't mean, I got to quit. I don't mean that because some people are unstable. They're doing this one day and doing something else another day. And if you listen to them, God's schizophrenic. He's confused. I'm not talking about that. You understand? But faith is a step-by-step thing. And as you stay on the course into the thing you're believing for, there'll be steps God will have you take. And many times those steps come because you are believing God. That woman that got her purse stolen, she was believing God. And that opened the door for God to direct her to not go down there that day. So you can't separate. You ever heard this statement? Can't separate faith from being led by the Spirit. Pastor, we've known this for 20 years. I know. So do I. I've known it for longer than you. And I still got to catch myself on this sometimes. What's in my spirit? What's in my spirit? What's in my spirit? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I was told there's a lady here that would like us to pray for her. Is she still here? They maybe had it was a stroke or something. Somebody, I'd be honored, ma'am, if you would like that. I'd be honored to lay hands on you, pray with you, agree with you. Praise God. We're a church that joins our faith with others, right? Amen. Praise God. Maybe Miss LaDonna, you want to come? Ann, you want to come? I think you spoke with her. Praise the Lord. Say it out loud. Jesus is the healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Stretch out your hands toward our sister. Praise God. Was I correct? It was a stroke you had, a stroke or something? When was it?
A week ago.
Bless your heart. It's good to see you here. I'm glad you came to church. Are you from around the area?
Yes.
Stretch out your hand toward her. Father, the compassion of God that's manifesting right now, heal her in the name of Jesus. Restore her. Whatever damage was done when that stroke happened, I ask you to restore it by your power right now in Jesus' mighty name. Satan, take your hands off of her mind, her brain, whatever was affected by this stroke. And we release the power of God in the compassion of heaven into her body to restore her in every way. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. You know, sister, the Bible says when we pray, that's the time where we Bible says, believe, we receive. So now's that point of where we do that. Let's all just lift our hands and say, we believe.
With her
that she receives her healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you agree with that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness. The compassion of God's all over me. Would you hug her for me? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ashakitekiye. Ashakakatiye. Ashakakatiye. I see something heavy on your heart, sister. A desire you have in your heart. I believe it's for some family members. I don't know full revelation of what it is. But I see a desire of your heart. Ah, masakiyete. Ah, I join my faith with you that that turns. That turns in Jesus' name. Does that mean anything to you?
Yes.
Yes, it does? Good. He's a good God. He's working on it right now. He's working on it right now. Praise God. What's your name?
Shanae.
Shanae. Yes. It's so good to have you today.
Thank you.
Praise God. Can you come back? We'd love to have you.
Yes.
Come back and just let us encourage you. Amen. Praise God. Love you in the Lord. Praise God. Just lift your hands and thank God for ministering to her. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody else want ministry to you got some kind of condition in your body? Since this started flowing, we might as well flow with it. Anyone else? You want ministry in your body? Something's gone wrong, maybe some kind of diagnosis or something. Come on up here. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We give you praise. You're right, brother. Praise the Lord. This anointing's flowing, so let's flow with it. Praise God. If you're in the auditorium, you're in the crowd, just reach out your hand toward these. Sing with us or believe God with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. I lay my hands on you for power to go into your body. Thank you, Father, for healing his body. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be healed this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for that anointing. In Mamasikite. Thank you for that anointing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for that anointing, Father. Healing her body. Satan, take your hands off her body. In Jesus' name. I lay hands on you. Release God's power.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father, for healing her body. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. We lay hands on you for power to go into your body and heal your body. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Be healed this morning in Jesus' name. By the faith of God, we take hold of it and command the body to respond in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. There it goes. It went right into you. Thank you, Father. Be healed this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Be healed this morning in Jesus' mighty name. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is this for him? I lay hands on him and command him to be restored in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Command allergic reaction. I call that allergic reaction to stop in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I lay hands on you for your healing. Be healed this morning in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Be healed this morning, Leanne, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. And where's Anne? In the Masakite. Lay your hands on her chest. In the name of Jesus. Oof. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I lay hands on this cloth so that when it's laid on the body of the sick, Father, it'll take sickness out of that body, drive it out in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. We lay hands on this cloth to drive out the disease when it's laid on the body of the one it represents in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Be healed this morning in Jesus' name from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Are Matt and Katie here? Are they still here? They're not. Okay. All right. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands and thank God for His power that went into these. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. We thank you that that has been destroyed in the lives of those that had hands laid on them this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Say the Lord is good. He's good to me. And He's good all the time. Greet somebody beside you and say that to them. The Lord is good. He's good to me. He's good all the time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, 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 amen.